Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you placed in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. But first, we will have our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Rejoice in Me Always. Praise be to God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 12. And it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Amen. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 102:27. And it says, But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Praise be to God. My third scripture reading is coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. The message is, rejoice in me always, no matter what is going on. You can rejoice in your love relationship with me. This is the secret of being content in all circumstances. So many people dream of the day when they will finally be happy, when they are out of debt, when their children are out of trouble, when they have more leisure time, and so on. While they daydream, their moments are trickling into the ground like precious bomb spilling wastefully from overturned bottles. Fantasizing about future happiness will never bring fulfillment because fantasies is unreality. Even though I am invisible, I am far more real than the world you see around you. My reality is eternal and unchanging. Bring your moments to me, and I will fill them with vibrant joy. Now is the time to rejoice in my presence. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. And now at this time, we are going to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Now at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this morning, we are going to say good morning, Lord. Amen. Praise God by the Wiki Tones. Amen. Praise be to God. Good morning, Lord. For the Bible says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you on this beautiful, beautiful morning?
Blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed, blessed, blessed to see this beautiful day.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
I love that song, that song that you just played there, of Pastor Wiggins there.
Yes.
Apostle Wiggins. Amen.
Good morning, Lord. We have
that's one of my favorite songs.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We are so glad to have you on board. Amen. This lovely morning. And we hope that all is well with you and your family. I just want to let you know that our pastor, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Nadine, send you their greetings. First Lady Nadine and our pastor, they send you their greetings this morning. Amen. And they hope that all is well with you. They send you their love. And they hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Praise God. I also want to thank Evangelist Hilda for all that she's doing, where she opens up the program from Tuesday to Saturday.
Amen.
This radio program, she opens it up from Tuesday to Saturday. And she opens it up with Sweet Hour of Prayer. And also on Thursday or Friday, she brings a beautiful word. Amen. So you don't want to miss that. Amen. And also our sister Barbara, who is going to be on right after I close with a beautiful poetry. And on Wednesday, she brings a lesson on Wednesday. Amen. And you don't want to miss that. And our First Lady brings a lesson on Tuesday. Amen.
Amen.
So you don't want to miss these lessons. Amen. And I just want to, and also Pastor Kathy. Pastor Kathy brings a word on Thursday. She brings a word on Thursday. And she and her
Amen.
Husband are going to be on right after Sister Barbara. They're going to be on with Talk in the Sanctuary. Amen. So you don't want to miss that. We're going to find out what topic Pastor Kathy has for us today. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, Dr. V. Turner, and also Apostle Jackson, who have been a blessing to this ministry. I want to give a shout out to them, to their to their congregation and also their families.
Yes.
And I hope that all is well with them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. So right now, you know what I'm going to say. We're turning our attention to Father God, the Most High.
Yes.
The Most High God. Amen.
Amen.
We're turning our attention to him this morning. Amen. Every morning, every Saturday morning, or every morning that you wake up. Amen.
Amen.
We turn our attention to the Most High God. Amen. To the Almighty. To the Almighty. Amen. So, because he likes to be recognized.
Yes.
God likes to be recognized. And he's in every place all at the same time. Amen. That's how great our God is. He's in every place all at the same time because he has all power. All power is in his hands. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in China. You could be in Russia. You could be in Australia. You could be in New Zealand. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in Africa, Haiti, wherever you are. You could be in Australia. Wherever you are, we're going to bow our heads because when Christ comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen.
Amen.
He's coming back for his bride. Amen. So let us bow our heads while I say this prayer. Father God, the Most High, we come before your throne with joy, thanksgiving, and merriment of heart. We bow down and humble ourselves before you. We decrease that you increase and be glorified. Because of ourselves, we are nothing, we can do nothing, and we know nothing without you. For what is our life but a vapor? You are the master of the wind, the sunlight, the midnight sky with the moon and the stars. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You have made this world and everything in it, and without you, there was nothing made. For everything was made by you, for you, and through you. We love, appreciate, and adore you, Lord. And we thank you for all that you've done for us and are doing in our lives today. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm just going to sing a song.
Amen.
And then after this, I'll bring the word. Amen. I'll bring the word.
Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I was just looking for something here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's what we want to be. We want to be a sanctuary for God. Amen. Pure and holy, tried and true. If you know the song, you can sing it along with me. If you don't know it, it's okay. The song we used to sing years ago when we was singing in praise and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. God is the joy and the strength of my life, removes all things, misery and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me, never, never come short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far and I'll never turn back. God is my all and all. Amen. God is my all in all. God is the joy and the strength of my life. Removes all things, misery and strife. Amen. He promised to keep me, promised to lead me, and never, never come short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way, and keep my life clean every day. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful, aren't those beautiful words?
Yes,
I want to go with him when he comes back. Mm-hmm. I've come too far, and I'll never turn back.
Hallelujah.
God is my all and all. And Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today. And you can get your pens, your papers, and your Bible out while I say this short prayer. Father God, I just thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. I know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, Father. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. My scripture reading today is coming from Numbers. It's coming from Numbers 21, and it's from 4 to 6. Numbers 21, 4 to 6. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? This is what the people were saying, and this is what they were complaining. They said, they spake against God and against Moses and said, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes or hates this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You see, because the Lord was, he was not pleased with how they was complaining against him and against Moses. God was not pleased. He was not pleased with them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Moses records an incident when God's people were critical towards his leadership. God's people were critical towards Moses' leadership. God's pleasure, displeasure led him to bring judgment by sending poisonous snakes in retribution for their sins. So in other words, complaining is a sin, especially when God is trying to do everything. He's doing everything for you. You know what I mean? He's blessing you. He's feeding you and everything. You know what I mean? Protecting you. And you're complaining against God, amen, and against his leadership. They were complaining. They were a complaining people. These fickle followers of Moses were impatient and complaining. They were untrustworthy. They couldn't be trusted. When reading about the wilderness wanderings, you see the people were habitually dissatisfied. They were quick to voice their displeasure. The twofold complaints were they didn't like the way they were led and fed. That was one of their complaints. One of the complaints was they didn't like the way they were led, and the next one was they didn't like the way they were fed. Amen. Isn't this like some of us Christians today, that because we don't the way a pastor brings a message, we write them off? God showed me that even though I don't like the way they bring the message, He, God, is not limited. He will still use them and give me the word that I need, because they are appointed and they are anointed. They are anointed and appointed. Amen. We can't complain just because of a pastor doesn't bring forth a message the way we like, or we think it's not for us. We can't act like that this person can never bring a message to us, because there have been pastors I don't like, and the Lord will sit me down in front of a pastor that I really don't listen to that much, and bring a word, because God is able. God is able to bring a word. If God is able to use the devil, amen, even if it's a pastor that you don't like, or you don't like the way they bring that word, there's something for you, and God will show you. I'll work right through him and bring you a word, even though you don't like him, even though you don't care for this pastor, or you feel like he's not anointed. You see, but God goes by the heart of a person. We go by the outer appearance, you know what I mean, and how they present themselves and stuff like that. But God goes deeper than that. He looks into a person's heart. That's how he appoints people. He goes by their heart and how they feel about him, you know, because you on the outside, you can act like that you love God, but God is not fooled, because he goes by your heart. He can tell whether you love him or not. And he can tell by your obedience to him if you love him or not. Amen. So sometimes these people that you go against, they are chosen and sent by God, regardless of whether you think so or not. So when I am in doubt, God knows that I have doubts. He'll show me that he chose them. So if I have a doubt, God will show me that I chose them. God can see inside of each and every one of us, and he looks deep. He knows our hearts, and he sees our thoughts, our feelings of doubt or unbelief, our hopes and our fears. God sees it all. His eyes penetrate into the darkness of our very soul, our very being. He penetrates into the darkness. That's why if we do something in the dark, God can still see it. You know, a lot of people think they might be hiding from God when they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing in the dark. They're supposed to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Amen. And they're doing things in the dark. God can see it. He's watching you. Mm-hmm. See? So he can detect it, and he misses nothing. God doesn't miss a thing.
That's right.
Amen. He doesn't miss a thing. Praise God. The Israelites spoke against Moses' leadership. Mm-hmm. The truth is, rebelling against Moses was rebelling against God. So if you rebel against somebody that God sent, that's rebelling against God. Just like what happened with Christ when the Israelites was rebelling against Christ when he came. Amen?
Amen.
So rejecting Moses was rejecting God. God does
yes.
not like it when we are critical towards mm-hmm. the leadership that he sent. Those whom he has appointed, he says, touch not my anointed. Those who are obedient and carrying out God's will and purposes, because if you bother them, you will have to deal with me. That's what God says.
That's
if you
right.
bother them,
mm-hmm.
or if you criticize them, talk about them, you know what I mean? God will take care of it. He will take care of you.
That's right.
So let us take a look at how Moses got to be a leader, how he had an encounter with God. I want to show the kind of power the Israelites were dealing with when they came up against Moses. You see, because when God sends you, he sends you in power. Amen? God sends you, you have power when God sends you. You have God's power. Amen? Because he's the one that sent you. I know we all will agree that God is all-powerful. There is no power that can match God's power, not even the devil.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And the devil is the prince of this world. He's the prince of darkness of this world. And God is the one that governs the Israelites. The devil is the one that governs this world. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of times we wonder why so many things are happening in this world. You know why? Because God is not the government of this world. God hates sin. He hates sin. But when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that's when the devil took over this world. Amen. So he's the God of this world, and that's why we see so many things going on today,
mm-hmm.
and we wonder what happened. Because the devil is the God. He's in charge of this world. It's under his government. That's why. So my title for today is, are you a complainer of God's leadership? My title for today is, are you a complainer of God's leadership? Isn't it exciting? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, so that we can get a clear picture of how Moses was sent by God. Amen?
Amen. What was that?
One day, it's Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15.
Okay, thank you.
Exodus 3, 1 through 15. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. So this was amazing to Moses, that the bush was burning, but the bush didn't burn up. And Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? He said, I must go and see. See? Moses said, why is that bush burning up? I must go and see. So when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here I am. And Moses replied, do not come any closer. This is what the Lord warned. He warned, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Amen.
Amen.
So even when you go into prayer, guess what? You're standing on holy ground when you go into prayer. You know, sometimes we forget that. When we go into prayer, you know, we can come to God any hour of the day or night. And after a while, we forget that when we go into prayer with God, we're standing on holy ground. And that's what Moses was doing. He was standing on holy ground when he came closer to God. Amen?
Amen.
See, that's why we don't have to bring a sacrifice anymore. As Israelites, we don't have to bring a sacrifice anymore. Amen? Because Christ became the final sacrifice. Other than that, you can't even approach God because the ground that you would be standing on would be holy ground. God is a holy and righteous God.
Yes.
He says, God says, I am holy, spiritually pure, and I cannot stand sin. See? He said, I'm pure. I am holy, cannot stand sin. And that's what it is with this world. God can't stand sin. Amen?
Amen?
So he's not the government of this world. We forget that. It's the prince of darkness that is the government of this world because God cannot stand sin. And I'll be frank with you, God hates the sinner. He hates him, and he hates the sin. Amen? He hates the sinner, and he hates the sin. Because see, when you sin, you become an enemy of God. When you commit sin, that's why you have to repent. When you sin, you become an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he said, I can't stand sin. That's what he told Moses. He said, I can't stand it. Don't come any closer and take off those sandals that are tracking with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself before me, for I am the God of your father. Amen.
Amen.
So even if we go into prayer, you know what I mean? We should humble ourselves before God. Amen. Because the ground that we stand on is holy ground. We forget how powerful God is. And he's a holy and righteous God. He can't stand sin. So he says, humble yourself before me, and I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Amen. He was afraid to look at him. Moses had fear and respect for God. He had respect for his creator. And anyone who looks at God will surely die. They won't be able to take his countenance. See? You can't look on God because when you look on God, you'll die. He's powerful. He has an awesome presence. And so Moses bowed down in awe. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, their pain and their hardship, their agony. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Amen. So we're going to stop right here. Amen. And I'll take this up next week. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed what you heard thus far. I hope you've learned something from this thus far. And now I turn it over to Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning, and I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and a benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Yes, yes. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning? Yes, morning.
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all doing?
Blessed. Thank you. Amen.
I just wanted to say I was looking for that scripture. I couldn't find it in reference to God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. So when I get a moment, I'm going to check that out. Amen.
Amen.
He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Amen. My poem is coming. Something I wrote September the 7th, about 8:22 in the morning. And the title is Unravel My Heart. You had it tied up, see? You had a hold on me under lock and key until recently. You cared about me. You were there and available. You were there for me. Now you've changed, and it's strange, or so it seems. Right now, I see you could care less for me, for my needs, for the places I need to be, or the things I would like to do, and so on and so forth. Now, it's all about you, about your priorities. The strings of my heart, they're unraveling. They've come undone, unglued, broken. You weren't there. You didn't know. You have no clue. Did you care? It's been a long time coming, and the end is near. The strings of my heart are done. They're unraveling. That's when my exit, stage right, will appear. A lot of things were said in the beginning. As time goes by, I wonder if you ever meant any of it. Where is God in all this mess? All right. He's orchestrating, and I'm blessed. Uh-huh, I got it. I came back for my encore. Now is exit stage right again. This is at last the end. And my scripture comes from Psalm 25, verses 1, 5, 16 through 18 and 21 from the King James Version, where it reads, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." Amen.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Very nice.
God bless you. Thank you.
God, I like the part where you say you will wait on him. I will wait on you.
Amen.
Very, very nice. I love that. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Amen. God. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, right now we're getting ready to, if there's anyone out there that want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this is your time now. Amen.
Amen.
And God has opened up a way where you can come into his kingdom. You know, you might not have a church home, but you could do it on this radio program right now. Amen. All you have to do is say these few words after me. Amen.
Amen.
Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Now, if there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we are really excited over you, and we know that all heaven is rejoicing over you. Amen. Even if it's one, could be 1, 20, 30 people, I really don't know. Only God knows that. Amen. But if you don't have a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit, who came to reside inside of you when you made that confession. Ask him to lead you to the right place where you can, we hear the word and you can grow, and where you can have fellowship with other believers. Amen.
Amen.
So again, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, it says, a call to holy living.
Yes.
So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to a gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ is revealed to the world. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I would like to give a 10 minutes of silence for the victims of 9/11.
Amen.
Not minutes, seconds, not minutes.
All right. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, and help those who are grieving at this time. So now we are going to go into the second part of our program for this morning, which is Talk in the Sanctuary with our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry. And we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you.
Praise God. It's in your hands.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. God bless you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am so grateful. I am so grateful. God allowed us to be alive on this morning.
Amen.
I am so grateful because if you want to think about it or if you want to reflect, today is 11-11. So we 9-11. Really...
9-11.
Thank you. We really got to thank God for being here today.
Amen.
Okay? Because you think about 20 years ago when those people went to work, they were not anticipating
That's right.
Whole Twin Towers coming down. Come
That's
on
true.
Now.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
very true.
You know, they did not see that coming. From the ground floor, from the roof to the ground floor, that was horrible. And here's the thing. Not just the people that were in there got killed. There were some people on the outside that died.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about they just died. To see something like that happen, it just blew them away. And some of them never recovered.
Yeah, true.
It was worse than them being in Vietnam.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just never recovered from what they saw. Because if you think about it, on the day that that happened, none of us saw or could even visualize the Twin Towers coming down like that.
No.
Those buildings were high.
Mm-hmm.
They were high. So while they're reflecting on what happened, the survivors, how they dealing with it, how they going through it, the only thing we can do is say, God, thank you. We're still here. Thank you for the ones that did recover. Thank you for their family members.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard. Even though a lot of them got a whole lot of money, it still did not bring back their loved ones.
Nope. Not at all.
So in reflection to that, we got to keep praying. Keep on praying because there's so many things going on in the world, still going on in the world, that have that kind of negative impact on people. And sometimes it'll draw them to God, but not all the time.
Yeah.
So we want to take a moment, and I know that on TVN, there's a time during the morning where it's nothing but reflection, and you take time and reflect, and they send up spiritual insights and, you know, little wording. So we're going to take time to reflect, and then we're going to offer up a prayer for the ones that did survive. Because some of them are still going through that. And, you know, even though the world takes time to go back on it, reflect, and this is what happened, and this is how some of the people survived, and all the firefighters, what they were going through, and they'll get little reports on how they were feeling at that time. And I'm telling you, what happens in the background is those families are having to remember it over and over and over again during the reflection. And the reflection is meant to be a beautiful thing to let them know we didn't forget. And you know, we're so grateful that the family members survived and the ones that did survive and things like that. But it keeps the family remembering over and over and over again. And I heard them on the news last night saying some of them are still crying as if it just happened. Yeah, because when you show those pictures in their mind, it did just happen.
Mm-hmm.
That reflection takes them all the way back to that day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to keep lifting up not just the family, the friends, and everybody that was connected to what happened, which is all of us, because I'm telling you, I went to my son's school that morning. Look, I haven't even forgotten, and I was nowhere near New York. I went to my son's school that morning because he wasn't feeling well. And on my way to the school, I seen cars just stop, you know, and people were talking on the streets, and I was going, what is going on? What is going on? And then I heard them say they were listening to the radio and what happened in New York City. I ran and grabbed my kid and rushed back home and started calling my mama and everybody that was in New York at that time. That was horrible. And I'm telling you, back then, I don't know that cell phones were so advanced like they are now with the call waiting around. So you were trying to get a house line through so you could find out what's going on. Is everybody okay? You know, it didn't matter where they lived. Because they were in New York, you felt like that impacted them. In my mind, I could only imagine the sound of that crash, how far it carried, that people were able to hear the sound of that building coming down. So we reflect on that, and we bless God for all the ones that did survive, and even the ones that didn't survive, you know, because like I said, it sounds horrible, and it felt horrible to those people, but nothing ever catches God by surprise. God knows. And that's why with God, we can be better prepared. And some people say they weren't prepared for those days. Yes, they were. Look at the Bible. The Bible says you're going to have wars and rumors of wars, but that's not the end. You're going to have this happening. You're going to have that happening, but it's not the end. So if anybody has ever heard the stories of the Bible, and that's why it behooves us to stay connected with God's word, because those things are manifesting. Those things are manifesting. Day by day, year by year, those things are manifesting. Absolutely. You know? So stay connected, so you stay educated and prepared. So even though you don't know the date or the time, you know right. that it's possible that it could happen. So those are the days you say, God, help us when it does happen.
Yes.
Strengthen us. Lead and guide us when it does happen. Right? And sometimes I hear the stories about the plane crashes or the planes coming down and the fact that you'll hear some of the family members say during that time their loved ones were able to call and say goodbye. You see, that could only be God. Come on now. That they going down or something's happening and they dial in their family member and says, this is the end for us. And I just want to tell you that I love you. You know, how wonderful is that? But here's something that's even more wonderful. Tell your loved ones now. Don't wait for a crisis. Don't wait till it's almost too late where you almost can't get the eye out your mouth.
That's right.
Tell them now. Remind them how much you love them. Even the ones that get on your nerve that you cannot stand. But the funny part is, you know they get on your nerve. You know, oh, God, you hate to see them coming. But guess what? Those are the ones when you out there with your family members and somebody try to rise up against them. You're like, you're not going to mess with my family like that. You don't know us. So if you're going to stand up for them, you still love them. So tell them that you still love them. In spite of all they've done and doing whatever, just tell them you love them. Like me, I tell you guys all the time, I don't need no flowers when I'm gone. I can't see them. Give me my flowers now. If you love me, tell me now. I don't want to wait till I'm in the box and you look down and go, oh, I didn't get a chance to tell you I love you. I can't hear you. I'm gone.
I'm gone, honey. Tell me now.
Don't be saying, I'm sorry. I wish I could have told you I was sorry. We don't mess up. No, tell me now. I can't hear you. That's a body in that box, but my spirit is gone home. I'm standing at the pearly gates negotiating with God whether or not I'm going to get in. Please, Lord, remember I did this. I was dreaming about my mansion. Come on. You know my body ain't in, my spirit ain't in that body. Because as soon as death gets up on me, God snatches our spirit out. Why? Because he said, we will not taste the sting of death. So at that time, that spirit is lifted up and the body is gone.
That's
same
right.
thing that happened to Jesus. Jesus said, it is finished. Boom, spirit lifted up.
That's it.
Bible says at that time, his spirit was removed. Boom, gone. So y'all can do whatever y'all want with this body because my spirit has been lifted out of here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it,
so if you're going to do it now where they can hear you.
Yes.
You're going to ask for forgiveness. And I tell you, I never thought I'd be asking so many people for forgiveness. I said, good Lord, how many things have I done? But I still ask for forgiveness because I don't want nothing to stop me. Lord, if you show it to me, I'm going to go get it right. That was my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go get it right because I don't want nothing hindering me from going through those pearly gates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You can have the most beautiful, it's homegoing, but it's nothing like when you get to those pearly gates and you sent the other way.
Come on now.
Homegoing was nice. But you're not going through the gate. Come on now. Yeah, we want to do all that we can now. God, show me. Show me me. So I can get it right and I can come through those. Matter of fact, I don't even want to negotiate. I want to do like what I see in my dream. I see my mama go through, my sister goes, I want to go on through. No negotiate. I want to go on through. I want to know I can just, they just escort me on in. Come on, Kathy, we've been waiting for, thank you. And going on in. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you because you woke us up, clothed in our right minds, divine healings in our bodies, oh God. You saw fit to allow us to see another day, a day that was not promised but given, a day that we can take to turn our lives around and offer it up to you. And accept you as our Lord and Savior. You gave us another opportunity to get it right, to accept your son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Huh? Mm. To turn away from our wicked ways. You have given us another opportunity. And for that, we say thank you. We honor you. We glorify your holy name, oh God, for being who you are and all of your glory, for your mercy, your renewed mercy every day. Thank you for continuing to show us how to love on one another, how to forgive one another, how to have mercy on one another, how to be more Christ-like. Thank you, God, for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We say thank you, and right now we invite you to have your way in this conversation right now that it might be found pleasing in your sight and others. We'll be blessed by it and not offended. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You know, I was laying in my bed, and I ain't lying. I was laying in my bed because we got those grandkids here this morning. And I tell you, while I was laying in the bed, and that sleep was good. I don't know about y'all, but the sleep don't get good for me until the morning.
Right.
That's when I'm supposed to get up, but it started getting. And so I laying in the bed, and all I could hear was, good morning, Vietnam. I said, what in the world? And so I started laughing. And while I'm laughing, I turn and I look outside, and I see the daylight. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Because if it's daylight, it's close to 8 o'clock, and I got to get up and get on Block Talk Radio. And you know what? I am so grateful. Because I know that I'm supposed to be being about my father's business. But really, I got to tell y'all, there's a selfish part of me that does it for me. Because I want to make sure I got a mansion waiting on me with my name on it. He said he going to prepare all these mansions. I want one with my name on it.
Yes, indeed.
I surely don't want to go through all this hell down here and then get up there and he reroute me. Uh-uh. No, I want to get in. Well, we bless God.
Make sure,
I thank God. You guys, I don't know if y'all was on the line. I don't know if y'all was on the line on Thursday, but Evangelist played that song that I asked her to play that song that we had been listening to years ago. And at some point, you know, we probably got tired of hearing it. I never got tired of hearing it because I loved it so much. And it was My Hope or No Hope. But, you know, the songwriter that was No Other Hope. No Other Hope. You know, when she said, I don't know how, I don't know when, but my God will deliver me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I heard that thing, and I was sitting back here just bawling because it still touches my heart. That song was off of No Other Hope. But she played that song, and guess what? That was our reflection because that was years ago. When we started on Block Talk Radio, we still was coming along. There was still a lot of conflict. There was a lot of stuff going on when we first got on Block Talk Radio. But we kept drumming along, trying to get it right, trying to get it right, trying to make it better. And the faithful few kept holding on because they believed that this is what God has called them to help out, to host, to do what they could, you know, to open somebody's heart up so that they can hear the voice of God coming through a song, coming through a poem, coming through words of wisdom, coming through prayer, you know. So we kept trucking along, and we're still trucking along so that others are blessed by what God has called us to do. And I don't know about anybody else, but I say thank you to everybody that has hung in there with me and continue to support me because I realize I'm not the nicest of people sometimes. So thank you, guys. Thank you for all the love, the support, the beating. Thank you for it all. I wouldn't trade you guys in for the world. You guys have been the absolute best. And I know you're going, okay, where's she going with this? Because she sound like, I just sound like I'm reflecting because it's 9/11. That's all. But so, I wanted to make sure I said thank you. I just wanted to make sure I said thank you.
You're leaving.
No. I just want to make sure I say thank you to you guys. I want to make sure if I offended Mother, Sister Barbara, Evangelist Hilda, Boo Boo, Susu, anybody, please forgive me. Know that I have grown up easily. Get into the place where I'm trying to offend anybody. You heard what I said. I don't easily get. That means I'm aware that I still offend some. I still do things I ain't got no business doing. But it's not as easy as it was before to jump into that and do those things. Now, you know, I don't get into it as easy. So please forgive me. Know that I love you guys and I appreciate all your support. Every Saturday, Thursday, whenever we get together. Thank you for that. Now, I'm going to give you guys a minute to reflect as well. I don't think it's fair for me to do all the reflecting, and all of you got something to say. So I'm going to give you all time, and then we're going to get into the little topic real quick. We're going to start off with Sister Barbara. Do you have anything you would like to reflect on or say or offer up to God?
I just want to say good morning to everybody. I received your request for forgiveness, and I ask that I forgive you, and I ask that you forgive me also. I know a lot of times you're easily offended, and as I say in one of my poems, do I offend thee? It's not intentional. Amen. I just want to reflect again on the 9/11 where on September the 11th, 2001, when two planes went into two buildings, not at the same time, but two buildings came down. The third one stayed up, but there was also a plane in Washington, D.C. where the Pentagon partially was inflamed and set on fire. And also another plane, a fourth plane, was in Pennsylvania. I think they called it. It was a United plane with 93 passengers died, including, you know, some of the stewardesses and such. I don't know about the pilots, but I'm not sure if all of them died. But it's a day, as you're saying, a day of reflection. We don't want to dwell on it, but we certainly want to remember those people that died unnecessarily. We don't know. I don't know if the government knew about it. They knew that it was an impending threat to America. They didn't know exactly where or when, but they knew it was imminent. I was watching something last night. They said the CIA, the undercover agents for the CIA noticed that as they were listening to transmittals, all of a sudden it was silent for a few days. So they knew something was imminent, something was about to happen. And when they bombed the building, the World Trade Center, President Bush was in New York. And as we see on the news, how they whispered to him, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he basically just carried on. Amen. So
wow.
There's a lot to forgive. There's a lot to reflect on. As I said, we don't want to make it a maudlin, you know, day. At least I don't, not for myself. But I just pray for those people who've gone through. And many of them died on that day. Many of them died days later. My understanding is that the smell of death and fire was in the air for like 1 to 3 months later. Amen. So that was quite an under of America, an assault, a terrorist attack on America. And many of them, as I said, died that day, but some of them are still alive and are still dying. They're suffering with cancer and other things. So it had a far-reaching repercussion on us. Amen?
Amen.
But for that, we are blessed because it could be worse. It could be worse. And I just have to say, too, that those that were going to succumb to death did so, and others that were supposed to report for work that day, some of them stopped. They went and got a donut. They went and, you know, they did other things. God was in the midst of that. And so for that, they are still, I know, they're still alive. So to God be the glory. Thank you for this moment to reflect and think about what transpired on 9/11. God bless everybody that's listening.
God bless. Apostle Mother Wiggins.
Amen. Praise God. I thank you for giving me a time to reflect. Also, Pastor Kathy, and I was listening to what you were saying about being forgiven, you know, for maybe some things you did that might have offended somebody. And I just want to say the same thing, that if I've said anything to anyone to offend them, you know, I ask your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness. And when you were talking about it, I thought of a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say the words. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet.
Amen.
That song came to me, that we used to sing that song years ago. You know what I mean? Because none of us have arrived. We're all still learning.
Yes.
You know,
amen.
Still learning how
amen.
To... all the different things that we're doing or that God have us doing. We're still learning. And I love that song. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Now I'm going to tell you about 9/11. God, I really have to thank God, because I used to work in New York. And I worked in I was at 346 Broadway, and I used to could look out my window in the office and see the World Trade Centers in New York. And a year before that happened, God had me to retire from that place. A year. And you know what? I was in the World Trade Center carrying out all my business before the year was over. So you know, when I heard that the World Trade Center came down, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do, because I could have been there a year. Mm-hmm. If he didn't tell me to retire in that year, thank God that I listened to what God says. You know, a lot of people kept getting angry with me and wondering when I'm going to retire and why don't I retire and this and that and the other. And I said, well, I'm waiting on God for his timing. And when he gave me that timing, he gave me a timing a year before that those buildings fell, because I had to be in those buildings to carry out my business. So what happened was, the day that it happened, I was listening to the radio, and I couldn't believe what they were saying on the radio, because I didn't see the TV at that time. And they were saying on the radio that the World Trade Center fell, you know, it was attacked and all of that. And I was thinking, I said, oh, that's nothing but a joke, you know. And I laughed about it. I said, I don't know what they're doing. They did some kind of a joke. But when I went to the TV and I checked it out, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my God. You know what I mean? And I was mesmerized for 3 days. It looked like I couldn't function. All I could do was just stay in front of the TV and watch what was going on. Because I was so, and I was thanking God that I said I could have been in that. I could have taken all that the people was breathing in. I could have been there with that. But God had taken me out of there a year before, you know.
Amen.
And one other thing I wanted to say, the church that I was in, the church that I was going to at the time, you know, a lot of the people had people in the building of the World Trade Center, you know what I mean? And one girl had an experience where she was, I don't know if she was at the World Trade Center, and somebody fell right in front of her from the building.
Oh, my God.
So they had to give her therapy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because she was outside of the building, but somebody fell in front of her, and she was like no more good.
Oh, my God.
She was no more good, you know?
Wow.
So I just thank God, and I just ask God to just strengthen those people that have lost their loved ones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And help them in their time of suffering and sorrow. You know, because every time they see what had happened to their loved one, you know, it's like a reminder. They remember it, but it really becomes real when 9/11 comes around again. And like Sister Barbara said, people are still suffering because of this smoke, what they took in, you know, while it was there, the firemen and all them, what they took in. And another thing I want to say, too, is that they had a cross there. When they was cleaning up everything, they had an iron cross that they took out of there, an iron cross. You know, that had to do with God. I'm not saying God had that, allowed that or anything, but there was a cross there, and they saved that iron cross, you know. So that's all I want to say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Evangelist Hilda?
Well, for me, on that day, I did not know what was going on, what had happened. That morning, I was up in the shower getting myself ready to go for my doctor's appointment. And the phone rang when I came out, and I was, you know, dressed. And the phone rang, and it was my oldest son telling me, Ma, you see what happened? What's going on in New York? And I'm saying, what are you talking about? He said, you don't have the TV on. You're not listening. The plane just went into the Twin Towers. I was like, what? And he and I was sitting there looking at it and watching it on TV, and I could not believe what was happening. I'm saying, you're all the way in North Carolina. I'm here in New York, and you know what's going on, and I don't. It didn't really, like, hit me until I really sat down and looked at them. And then when the buildings started coming down and people jumping out out of the building, and I'm saying, like, oh, my God, have mercy on those people who were, you know, jumping out to keep from burning up. And even up to this day, they are still identifying, you know, body parts of people that are still missing. I think there was, like, how many people now they say is still missing that they haven't identified?
They found two, I think, yesterday, remains,
yes.
Not even parts.
Right. And the worst part of it was, when one of my coworkers, she said that morning she dropped her son off. He worked on the 110th floor. And she, that, you know how you that's your only son, and you hug him up and you kiss him and say, I love you, have a blessed day, and I will see you later. She never got to see him later. All she got was he called the house and he left this long message on her phone, on the machine, telling her how much he loves her and how much, you know, and what is going on there, how much he loved her and her sister. I mean, his sister. Because it was just two kids she had, a boy and a girl. And when she got home and she sat down and listened to that recording, that was the last thing, the last time she heard her son's voice when she said goodbye to him for the day.
Wow.
And she was, like, devastated. And then as time went on, now she's, you know, she's strong, and now I know today she's sitting down or wherever she is or in church or whatever, praying for her son and praying for all of those that were lost and killed during that time. You know, it's like every year you're always remembering, and it's like, okay, all right, let the people rest in peace. But, you know, God said we can grieve, but don't stay there. And some people, like, they can't function.
Amen.
They can't function at all because they're dwelling on their loved ones. But you have to put in your mind and in your heart that you will see them, you know, again when on Judgment Day or whenever, you know, God come back again, you will see your loved ones. But for now, you know, you gotta try. I'm saying, I ain't saying you're gonna do, but you gotta try to just pick up the pieces and move on and just pray every day that God give you strength, that you're able to, you know, grieve and not stay there too long and just move on with life, because life goes on. Just for me, just knowing that when my mom's died, that knowing that I would see her again one day, that's what kept me strong for myself, for my kids, for my sisters and them. Just knowing that I will see them again someday. That's what, you know, we got to do. And we have to remember, we will see them again, you know. And that's my
amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. And I can appreciate God allowing us to have this time on Blog Talk Radio, pray one for another, just to reflect, took place on this day, how it affected us, how it affected those around us, and that we're continuing to pray one for another in regards to this. All of those people that are still here, that are still traumatized behind it. We're still lifting them up in prayer and asking God to strengthen them even more so, you know. So we thank God that we had our moments of reflection, and that for those that were closest to us or that we knew or whatever, nothing catches God off guard, nothing. So we just bless God that the families that he needed to be with. He's still with them, still getting some folks through these times, you know, just like with any other time in your life when you know that someone died on this date, and you, that sadness comes over you whether you want it to or not. And you're like, why am I feeling like this? What is going on? And like with me, my siblings will be calling going, you know, this was the day, mother. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. And so it's going to come on you whether you want it to or not. Mm-hmm. But we thank God that we sit there, we remember all the fun times, all the laughter, you know, all the sacrifices and the love that was shown to us. And then we move on. With God's grace, we move on. Sometimes, you know, it's more painful to just stay there. So we do move on with God. So we thank God for our moment of reflection. Had about 25 minutes to just talk about what the topic was today. Thank God for everybody that opened up and was taking the time to say, if I have offended anybody, please forgive me. You know, and I accept the ones that said if they offended me, thank you. I accept your forgiveness. And I'm saying the same thing. I accept everyone saying, please forgive me. I accept the plea for forgiveness. I accept it all. And I'm so grateful that everyone's accepting mine that says, please forgive me. So we're moving on. So thank God we all had a moment to just share that with one another. So now
thank
we're
you,
gonna get
everybody.
Into...
Forgive me. Please forgive me.
You know what? I was going to spank you, but I wasn't going to spank you in front of everybody. I was going to say, you do know you was the only one that didn't say it, right? She got caught up in reflection that she forgot to do hers.
Yes.
So we thank God that she just opened up and said, forgive me. And thank you guys for sharing that as well. So now that's all of us. Everybody has gotten a chance to say forgive me.
I still love you all.
It's obvious that we do have love one for another, that is for sure. So thank God for that. Okay, now we're going to get into the question. I don't know that it's any less sadder than what we were just talking about. Well, here's the question. This is the question he gave me. I got to give it to you. Here's the question. Thank you, God. The question is, how comfortable are you at telling someone what they are doing is wrong or sinful? Are you comfortable telling someone when you see them doing wrong or you see them doing something of a sinful nature, are you comfortable telling someone that? That is the first part of the question. So let's just take the first part. That means it's just a yes or no, okay? Because there's three parts to this question. How comfortable are you at telling someone what they're doing is wrong or sinful? I'm sorry, I said it's a yes or no. It's one of those, I'm not comfortable or I'm comfortable or whatever. How comfortable or how comfortable? I'm kind of comfortable, whatever. But don't go into the second or third part till we get there. Just tell us how comfortable are you at telling someone what they're doing is wrong or sinful. Let's go to Apostle Mother Wiggins. How comfortable are you?
Well, lately it's been more comfortable. But I tell you, in the past, it's kind of difficult. You know people are doing things with you. You don't say nothing to them about it, but I find now it's more comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sister Barbara, how comfortable are you?
Depends on who it is, whether I'm comfortable or not. Some people you don't mind, you know, telling, and others you're kind of reluctant to say because you know they're going to get offended or, you know, it's going to be a debate or a lie or something. So
Yeah, that's true. I'm
not all that comfortable with it, but I will tell you. I will tell you.
Okay. Evangelist Hilda, how comfortable are you telling someone?
Well, depends on the situation, depends on who the person is, and depends on how they're going to take it when I tell them.
Okay. Okay, now the second part of the question is, thank you, God. Let me go back to this. When we're saying how comfortable, we're talking about, you're not just going to go out to people most of the time. It's usually a friend or someone you know or a family member, okay? Because other people, you just don't walk up and say, hey, you know that's a sin. Hey! Anyway. Right? But now.
You didn't say that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's why I'm trying to get to that point. To make sure that I can stay clear, because you know we was reflecting, so it didn't come out all the way. So now we're talking about, because you know, 9 times out of 10, you're not gonna go with somebody you don't know unless you're Kathy, because I'm just crazy like that, and I don't do it to everybody. I do it to children. You know, if I see teenagers out there hurting each other. Or saying stuff, hey, what you doing? You know, and they don't know me, and so you can imagine the look on their face. They're like, do we know you? I'm like, what y'all out here coming for? What's wrong with you? And my son, like I told you, my son's be like, Ma, one of these days, these kids just going to jack it. I said, no, they're not. Believe it or not, I think in my heart that children, you know, teenagers, whatever, they really want someone that concerned about them. They really do. You know, kids will keep running buck wild until somebody stops them. But they're looking for that guidance. Even though they don't say it, they are looking for guidance. They are looking for structure. Okay, the second part of the question is, now that you know you're comfortable, but I heard most of you already get an answer to the second part, it says, would you tell them, and then how would you tell them? And I will tell you this, I'm looking for a certain answer, and I'll tell you at the end what the answer is. But would you tell them, and again, we're talking about people you know, friends or family, would you tell them, and how would you tell them that what they're doing is wrong or sinful? Would you tell them, and how would you tell them? Let's go to Sister Barbara.
Amen. I was in a situation the other day. I was headed into the post office, and as most of you know, it's not just a direct in the door. You have to wait in line, socially distanced, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I was about the third person, socially distanced from the door, and there were these two children, a boy and a girl, might have been 8, 10, something like that, I don't know. They were running down the ramp. So as I'm coming, I leaned to my right so that they could, you know, have the space to come up and down and play or whatever. So when I got closer to the door, I don't know whose child they were, if the parent was inside or on the line in front of me, I don't know. But then one of them, I think it was the girl, started pulling the leaves off of the plants that were surrounding the building, surrounding the stairway, whatever. And she did it once, and I think she gave it to the boy, and he looked at it like, you know, I'm not into this, and he dropped it, and she went back and did it again. And I was like, Mommy's not, I don't know. It didn't even go, just like, and I said, why are you doing that? Don't you know this is to beautify the area, and you're destroying it. Why would you do something like that? And she looked at me like no answer, because what she was doing didn't even make any sense, you know. And I went on inside when it was my turn, and nothing was said. But I'm just saying I had to say something to two strange children the other day. And I believe I said it in love, but the point is, why are you acting so silly? What are the plants doing to you? You had to reach over a fence in order to pull the leaf, big leaf, you know, big plant, and what's the point? Amen? So it depends on how you say it, and it depends on your intent. And the intent was to give them an appreciation for not destroying somebody else's property and leave nature alone. It's not bothering you. And I think I said that to them. It's not bothering you. Why are you doing that? You know, and that was it.
Okay. All righty. Apostle
Amen.
Mother Wiggins, would you tell them and how would you tell them?
Yeah, well, I had a chance. A lot of times, you know, I have caregivers that come and take care of me here at home. You know, I have a caregiver that comes to me, and her and I, we laugh about things. We talk about things. We talk about the, you know, church, about God, and stuff like that. Anyway, she was telling me of somebody that she liked in the, you know, we'd be kidding around, you know. She was telling me about some man that she liked. I don't know if it was a doctor or somebody, and how she likes him, but this and that and the other. And she'll be standing outside looking in for him, you know. This is what she's thinking in her mind, you know. So we make fun on it, you know what I mean? And she tell me he's married. So then I got going into the Bible. I started telling her, I said, no, you can't. You know, I says, that's, God doesn't like that, you know what I mean, that you – you know what I mean? You have to, if you have anything that you want to be with him or anything like that, you have to let that go. You know what I mean? Because God doesn't like that. You have to, you know, so I try to, talk to her. Sometimes, you know, we do it in a kidding or loving way, but I still try to get in about God and what God likes and what God doesn't like, and it's no good, you know, something that if I see that she might be doing something or saying something or something like that. Like one time when she was talking about that she takes care of someone, but they come by and get her sometime and take her to the beach. She has a elderly man that she takes care of, but he comes to take her to the beach and stuff like that. But she'd be saying not good things about him, and I'd be telling her, I said, but you know, he really trusts you. He trusts you. Things that she tell me that she does with him, I see that he really trusts her, you know. So I said, I think that you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be saying those things about him. He really trusts you, you know. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. That was a good one. You know why? Because they really approached you. So that took a little bit off the edge of you having to approach them. For her coming to you saying the guy she's after is married and stuff like that, she's approaching you, so she already opened the door for you to come on in and tell her right from wrong. And the same thing with the care person. She opening up that door telling you. So that gives you the right to come on in and now say what you got to say. That's an easy one because they're approaching you. So they left the door open for you to say some stuff. Like Sister Barbara, she had to approach those kids or whatever and say, hey, that ain't bothering you. You know, that's kind of hard because now you're going to them without them approaching you. So the thing is, will you take that stand? Will you step out? You know, and then how would you step out? That was good, Mother, both of them. Because Sister Barbara surely had to step out and say so. And guess what? There are other people that are looking, and they just don't want to say anything or they don't know how to say anything. But they really do want something said. So both of those were really good. And I applaud you, Mother, that the fact that she came to you and she was discussing, this is what I want to do with this guy, but he's married. And you gave her your spiritual counsel on that. That's good. You know, a lot of times people tell us, I want to do this, I want to do that. And we listen to them and we say, oh, okay, you know, you may laugh it off, whatever. But if you see an opportunity to get in there and let them know, wait a minute, I thought you said he was married. You know, that's not God. God isn't looking for that to happen. You know what I mean? You can't do that.
Yes.
The man is married. Now you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look at the adulterous woman. Although
yes.
she was the only one they brought forth to God, both of them were in the wrong, but they both were going to be answering to God. So don't
mm-hmm.
think that because no one sees it, that you're not going to be answering to God. You are. You cannot mess with married people. That was good, Mother. And I thank you. Hey, the other thing with that, Mother, is her care person. She's saying da-da-da, and you're going, that man really trusts you. You know what? When people do stuff like that and they're in my life, I'm saying, wait a minute. That could be me you talking about to other somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You know, that could be me you thinking about treating that way or talking about like that. So, that opens up a doorway for you to dig into that conversation a little more because, hey, that could be me. You know, I'm not going to laugh at you what you're saying about other people. Because you could be talking about me, too.
Yeah, me
you
too.
Know?
That's how
and
I feel.
Even if you're not talking about me, it's not okay for you to come to me, a spiritual being, a Christian, and think I'm going to sit here and engage in conversation with you talking about somebody else. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How will that conduct draw you closer to God? You're looking at me going, I told you Christians are just like us. They do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
No, we got to let God's light shine through everything we do. Evangelist Hilda, how about you, Dionne? Would you tell them and how would you tell them?
Oh, yeah. I tell my sister all the time, why don't you curb your filthy mouth? Why every time you talk, it always has to be foul language? Don't you get tired of that language? You know, and she looks at me like, I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. You're crazy. Because you wake up and the first thing come out of your mouth is a filthy word. Why? Mm. It's not necessary. That's not God's way. You say you save, but you can't be saved if you're bringing out these kind of words out your mouth. It's, you know, can you not have a conversation without foul language? Try it sometime. It will make you feel so much better just knowing that you can have a conversation without all the cursing.
Amen. Well, guess what? Some people have been doing wrong or cursing. That one just happens to be cursing for so long that it's second nature to them. They don't even realize they're cursing. They're just having a conversation. They don't realize, hey, and guess what? That is not the first, the last, or anything like that person to be saved that is cussing up a storm. They still believe they say. And so, you know, a lot of times I look at it and go, you know what? I call me crazy because I thought I read in the book of James that blessings and cursings don't come out the same out, you know, the same fountain. You know, it's either bitter or sweet. You're going to have one or the other.
That's
so
it.
Now it's up to you to say whether or not you're going to be bitter or sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that taking a back seat when you see somebody doing wrong or when you see someone saying something wrong or you know it's a sinful nature, just like someone said to you, come on, let's go out. I'm going out with Billy. Billy who? Billy, the one you told me was married? Yeah. Well, I want you all to come double date. I don't think so. I'm not going on no double date with you with a married man. No, you will not take me down with you, right? Because that means I'm condoning what you're doing as if I'm in favor of what you're doing. Someone that's cursing all the time, if you don't say anything and they always around you, it's as if you're condoning it because you're allowing it to happen. And matter of fact, if you keep going around them knowing that this is what they're going to do and you never say nothing, that ain't good.
That's why I tell her, before you step
foot
in my house, I don't want
to tell
no cursing in here. No cursing. Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen, you know. Mm-hmm. I've had somebody get in my car, and every time you get around them, they got to cuss. So she gets in my car, and I took my car. I said, what you doing? And they just constantly, I said, you know what? I pulled the car to the side. I said, I'm thinking you're going to have to take the bus today. Why? Why are you acting so stupid? Okay, I'm not acting stupid, but you know you hear gospels playing in my car. You know that I am trying all that I know how to live a life of Christ, and you get in my car, and you disrespect me and my God with all this cursing. Get out. Take the bus. Okay, I'm going to stop. Say one more word, you're getting out. Okay, just drive me. I'm going to stop. You better stop because there's three buses to get where you going. So you better stop. I don't stop. Just like, you know, they start smoking. And if they call me and tell me, can you pick me up? I say, I can pick you up. But if I get to you and you smell like smoke, you will not get in my car. Because every time you get out, you leave that smoke smell in my car, and I don't like it. Mm. If I can respect what you do, you're going to respect what I do because it's my car. Mm-hmm. Now, let me pick you up and you smell like smoke. You will not get in my car. Okay. So that means you either got to spray something around yourself, drink something, have a mint or something so you don't smell like smoke when you get to my car because I will not pick you up.
Yeah, but and, even when you're smoking, it's still in your skin.
It's in your clothes, everything.
Clothes, your hair. So you're still going to smell it regardless.
And that's what I try to tell them. If it smells like smoke, it's not getting in my car. And I want to tell you, I did that for years with that person. I was like, why do you keep calling me? You know you want to curse. You know you want to smoke. Why don't you just call someone who is okay with that? Why do you keep calling me? And to this day, that person came to me one day and said, you want to go to my church? And I'm like, excuse me? You have a church? Yeah, I have a church. I go to this church. And I told him about how you wouldn't let me smoke in your car. You wouldn't let me curse. You would drive me crazy with all that gospel. And they still say, bless God. So I say that because the person that you're telling right from wrong to, they hear you.
Yeah,
they do hear you. Whether they change right then or not, that seed has been planted, they hear you. Huh? And when you least expect it, God will let you know that person has made a change.
Amen.
So don't stop doing that.
No,
you know, a lot of times you feel like, I don't want nobody to think I'm holier than thou. I don't want nobody to think I'm super spiritual. No, I don't want them to think that either. But if you come in my space, you're going to respect my space, right?
That's it.
I'm not going to let you come in my space. Now, what you do out there, that's on you. But you coming in my space, this is my car, my house. No, you don't get to do all those things. Even last night, you know, I was tired. The kids was, oh, my goodness. I don't know why I went to the store with them knowing I was just getting off work and outside. Oh, stop. He hit me. He pulling on me. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, you know what? Let's just get out of this store because I cannot take this right now. Get in the car. Don't hit me. He said this about, he looking at me. I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I get home. My husband, I try to throw him on Pastor Stephen so I can run in there and lay down. Because whoever lays down first, the other one gets stuck with him. So I try to run in there and lay down. And I hear Pastor Stephen say, is that what you watch at home? And I stop. I turned around. I came back. Heard all that. Cousin. I said, oh, you will not watch that here. I don't care what you watch at home. You will not be watching that in here. And while I'm trying to tell him that, don't you know Pastor Stephen snuck around me and ran to that bedroom? I got stuck with those kids. That's what you look at. So while I'm addressing it, he snuck around me and into the bedroom. I said, oh,
yes.
Good Lord.
Pastor Stephen.
Oh.
That was funny. That's funny.
Yes.
So I just wanted to tell you something about the cursing.
Mm-hmm.
The church I used to go to, the pastor used to say that when a person does a lot of cursing, of course I know it is a spirit, but but he used to say when a person does a lot of cursing, it's just because that they don't have a big vocabulary.
Yeah, my daddy told me that too.
Yeah. So when I
and uses big words and don't know the meaning of them, and I use them all out of context.
Yeah. So my caregiver was doing cursing. You know, she was cursing a lot, and I told her, I said, you know, they say that when you do a lot of cursing, that's all you know. That's all the words you know. You don't know any other words. I said your vocabulary is limited, and she stopped cursing.
All right,
said, maybe
now
you know something else. Is there something else you know besides them words? I don't know.
You know what we used to do? We started doing a couple of years. Well, it's been a few years now. We used to call each other up because we know that we got certain family members, they're going to curse. And so we all get on the phone or we text each other in a group text and go, the word of the day is, we turn it around. So we said, the word of the day is, let's see who's going to be the first one to chime in with the meaning of this word. And everybody's trying to fussle, trying to see what the word of the day. There's times when me and my sister, we're looking at TV or TVN or something, and they'll say a word, and we look at each other and go, the word of the day is, and we try to figure out who can get the meaning of that word the fastest. So we've turned it around to say, okay, the word of the day is, and you got to be the first one to get the meaning of that word. So not only do you hear a brand new word, but now you know the meaning of it, so you can use it in the proper context. So, we try to turn it around. But, of course, the person that does all the cussing, they know. They just look and see what the word of the day is, but they don't participate.
They don't. I just want to add something also, if I may. Sometimes on the phone, I have been talking to people, and they go to church, you know, and they want to talk like, you know, they're on the street. And I'm like, you know, when you talk that way, it's very offensive to me. You know, I go to church, and when you talk that way, it gets all in my spirit. So I really don't appreciate it. If you can just not, you know, don't curse when you're talking to me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so they'll stop. You know, but they may slip again, and then they remember that I don't like that. If you're gonna talk to me, you know, don't use profanity. And they will correct them. Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara, I didn't mean that. You know, or another female, she'll want to do the S word and the whatever. And I'm like, oh, she'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean. And she'll change the word. But the point is, it's in them. And unless they consciously stop it, they're not going to stop it. It's just like water to them. It's just something that they do. You know, they don't even realize that it's offensive to a person that is in God. Amen. And you don't even have to only be in God, but it's offensive to the hearer. And they're not talking about the hearer. They're talking about another situation in life. And it's so unnecessary. There are other words that can be used, maybe not as pungent, but there are other words that can be used to describe your dismay, your hate, your dislike for the situation. So I just let them know I don't appreciate that. It bothers my spirit. I really can't take it if you're going to talk that way. Please don't. And they usually respect me enough to not talk that way. Thank you.
Good and for you, Sister Barbara. Yeah. And that's the stand we have to take. You got to respect. If you're going to be around me, kind of give me a little bit of respect of who I am and what I'm representing. I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to be the best Christian I know how. I don't need all that being dropped in my spirit, because like I told you, I listen to music, and I go around Hester, and I'm cleaning her office. She said, get out of my office. And I go, what? Humming Luther, get out with all that nonsense, Kat. And I'm going, oh, my God, I'm humming Luther? I didn't even know it. But it was in my spirit because I heard it where I was. So, yeah, we thank God that all of us are trying to get to that place where we demand that the world respects us. If we got to respect you where we can't pray in school and we can't do this and we can't do that, then y'all need to respect us too and what we're going through in our areas too. So we don't have to bow down or take a back seat because they don't want to respect us. No, it's going to go both ways, right? I thank God for everybody that's brave enough to stand up for what they believe. And I salute you, Sister Barbara, for getting them to curtail that conversation. And you, Evangelist Hilda, for getting them to curtail that conversation. You, Mother, for sharing your words of wisdom, the young lady, the married man, and the caregiver. You know, you don't treat people that way, because guess what? If God allows, you're going to get on, and you don't know who your caregiver is going to be. Thank you guys for taking a stand. We out of time now. But thank you. It's been wonderful. Good conversation. Good reflection. Pray that we'll continue to represent God in a manner that is pleasing unto him. It's what we do in the secret places that God is looking at. And guess what? It's not offensive. Like Sister Barbara made that statement. She told me, that thing ain't hurting you. That's not offensive. Huh? Mm-hmm. Somebody was looking at you going, thank you. You know, saying something. So we bless God that there are still some people out there not afraid to speak up when they see right from wrong or something that looks sensible. You know, and sometimes it's just in God's time when to tell them, you know, and how to tell them. But it needs to be said, because if God allowed you to see it, God is looking to see what you're going to do, just like those people that have hidden cameras. And they do stupid stuff to see what people are going to do and what the others are going to see. God is looking to see what you're going to do and what you're going to say if you're going to continue to take a stand for Christ. Amen. Father, we want to say thank you this afternoon that we were able to have a good, good day of reflection, a good time of just a sweet, sweet conversation to build one another up, to encourage one another and what we're doing, the fact that it is right. And we need to continue to do those things, you know, continue to move forward and getting people to respect who you are in your space and your surroundings. And hopefully they'll be drawn into where you are rather than trying to pull you into where they are. So we thank you, God, for allowing us to have this day to talk about it, to reflect, to love on you above all else, to love on you, oh God, to lift you up. And to get others to do the same, that they may find that peace that surpasses all understanding, that comfort, that getting to a place where it's easier to say sorry. It's easy to say, please forgive me. It's easy to do the right thing. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. And for anybody out there that don't know God, please know that it's not too late to give your life to Christ. All you got to do is say, Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. I will make you my Lord and Savior. You pray that prayer. God is opening up his holy arms and wrapping them around you. And the next thing you need to say is, Lord, lead me to a good household of faith where I can come into the knowledge of who you are and grow more and more into your likeness. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you, Father God. We ask that you continue to shed your light throughout this earth world and in the homes of everyone. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins, who brought a wonderful word this morning to our Barbara Amore, who brought us our poetry, and to our pastor, Kathy DuBose from Led by God's Christian Ministry, with a talk in the sanctuary. So God bless each and every one of you. But as you go on your journey today, stay safe, keep your distance, and we love you. And we
love
thank
you too.
God
bless you guys. Love you. Thank you for your support and participation. And everybody that asked for forgiveness, thank you. God is smiling on us. He said they're learning
They're learning. God bless you. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Too.
You too.
Bye. Say hello
have
to Pastor
Steve. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. God bless you, ladies. Enjoy your day. I got another program to go to at 2 o'clock. Then another
Stay
one
safe.
At 7. No, not you, Siri. Thank you. And another one at 7 p.m. Ooh, a busy
Amen.
Day today for me. Praise yeah. the Lord.
Be safe.
You too. Love you,
you
ladies.
Too.
I'm not going to play
all.
Music. I'm just going to close us out because I have to get ready.